And the good singing, I appreciate you singing out, and all I can think about in that third verse, is the Lord getting ready to come back. And boy, wouldn't that be neat to be singing, going into that last verse, and the Lord coming back and hearing the trump and the rapture take place. that would be wonderful to usher in the coming of the Lord, and man, praise God for that. Great, again, just a great crowd this morning, but more importantly, a great spirit. And I'm thankful for that. I'm thankful for each of you and our guest here this morning. We've started off last week. We kicked off our theme, as you have seen already, is to be renewed. And boy, aren't we all so in need of being renewed by God's Spirit. It's a daily renewal and something we're going to go towards as a church this year. And ask God to do a renewal in our hearts as individuals, but then also as a church, and also in our homes, in our marriages, and just asking God to do a wonderful work of renewal in us. But thankful to see you here. If you want to go ahead and be turning into your Bibles, we'll be in Daniel chapter 5 this morning. Well, we've been studying through the book of Daniel for several months now, and we're in chapter 5 last week on Sunday night, and we're going to pick back up this morning and get as far as we can. You know, I don't know if y'all got the news yet, but they have actually decided to move the Masters to next week. Can you believe that? I'm just kidding, guys. Y'all looked at me like crazy. They wouldn't do that, but you know, this weather, it reminds me of Masters Week coming up anytime. And there in Augusta, I tell you what, this spring-like weather, you'd think we stepped right into April, wouldn't you think, Brother Josh? It was, it's something else. But again, like I said before, I am not complaining. And it count the blessings, right? And I will be thankful when Jackson County sends me my bill. I will see the reduction there. For my power bill for the month, and I'm going to count my blessings, amen. And but we do need to pray, and you may say this sounds silly, but I don't think it's silly to pray that the Lord just help us continue having some cold weather for some practical reasons. You know, our farmers, our peach growers, and apple growers, and different things going around, even up a little north of us, they don't want these trees to start blooming yet. And that start budding. We don't want that right now. But I think a lot of rain's going to be coming in. And whoever started praying for rain, please stop. Okay. We're about to get flooded. We're gonna have to build us a boat. But we're getting a lot of rain. And but I'm thankful for it. I'm not complaining. And thank the Lord. Thank the Lord for y'all and what He's doing. And again, thankful to have my in-laws here. You know, my dad jokingly used to say the best thing about in-laws was their taillights. But that is not what I believe. That is not what I believe. My in-laws are a blessing. I mean that. And they're always welcome to our house. And with all seriousness, I will say they have been a great spiritual encouragement to me. Joanne and I are going on being married 10 years. It'll be 10 years in August. And I would say without a shadow of a doubt, there are a few people that have influenced me more in my Christian life than my in-laws for the good, for God's glory. Just loving, a love for the Bible, a love for the Lord, and for how thankful I am for them and for them to be here with us this morning. Well, if you want to look there in your Bibles, the book of Daniel chapter 5, and I'm going to begin reading in verse number 5. We talked about last week this great feast that is taking place from a wicked man by the name of Belshazzar, and in great defiance against the God of Israel. This man cares nothing about honoring the Creator God, the God of Israel. In fact, he's completely defiant, and it's just really a debacle of immorality and drunkenness at this great party, this great feast, if you will, here in the very first verses of chapter 5. And so as he then defied even the vessels of the temple and is going on, and probably a lot of hooping and hollering going on and celebrating that life is all grand and we'll do what we want to and shake our fist in the face of God and we're going to have a grand old time, was the spirit of that meeting. But I want to tell you, that spirit is getting ready to change very quickly. It says here in verse number 5, the same hour of the party and the rioting and the all the activity going on involved in that, it says in the same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand and wrote over against the candlestick upon the plaster of the wall of the king's palace, and the king saw the part of the hand that wrote. And verse 6 says, then the king's countenance was changed, and his thoughts troubled him, so that the joints of his loins were loosed, and his knees smote one against another. The king cried aloud to bring in the astrologers, the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. And the king spake and said to the wise men of Babylon, whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof shall be clothed with scarlet and have a chain of gold about his neck and shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Then came in all the king's wise men, but they could not read the writing nor make known to the king the interpretation thereof. In verse 9, then the king Belshazzar greatly troubled, and his countenance was changed in him, and his lords were astonished. Let's pray. Father, you know we come before you, Lord, with much humility and much reverence, knowing that you are so good and so perfect and so powerful. And we just want to just give you recognition, Lord. We just want to thank you for being so good to us. Thank you, Lord God, for being our Savior. Lord Jesus, your blood that was shed, thank you for our sins. Lord, thank you that you're coming again. And Lord, thank you for your word. And Lord, I just want to pray that you would bless this time that we have and this passage. Would you speak to hearts? Would you use this to change the course of your people that are going in a wrong direction? God, would you help us to hear your voice in whatever way you see fit this morning? And mighty God, we will be very, very careful to give you the glory. For it's in Jesus' name we pray. Amen. You know, being invited to a party can be an honorable thing. It can be a pleasant thing, whether it be a birthday invitation, to a kid's party or a grown-up, whatever, going to celebrate somebody, turning the big 4-0. And whatever the case may be, and there's honor in getting that invitation in the mail. You know, you get invitations to weddings. It's an honorable thing to go see a man and a woman join in the eyes of God. What a special and wonderful thing. And then you also get invitations to graduations. You know, we got graduations coming up here real soon, and our seniors are saying amen, hallelujah, glory. And they're getting ready to walk across that stage. They're getting ready to get that diploma. And those that are freshmen, sophomore, and juniors are struggling with covetousness right now. They're wanting to get done and get through. But invitations, and you know, that's something funny about, at least I'm speaking for myself here. I don't want to accuse anybody of being greedy like me. But, you know, when I sent out my invitations for my graduation, you know, it would have been nice if they would have showed up. But what I really wanted... They could just send a check. That'd be fine too, you know. But anyway, we know that invitations can be a good thing, but you know, this invitation to these party were to all these lords of his and all this government. They had all been invited, and the concubines and others, and he was showing off, and many had been invited to show his defiance against God and his pride and all the things that he wanted to do. And really, we know from last time he was in denial in many ways. But I want to tell you somebody that was not invited, and that is the title of this message, The Uninvited Guest. The one who was not invited was the God who he was defying. But can I say to you this morning, church, God does not have to be invited. God shows up where he wants to, when he wants to, and how he wants to. He has that right. And he is the God of glory in heaven, and he is the sovereign one, and he was not invited to this party, but he shows up. And that's the scene we have here, this great party going on, this great feast, and the uninvited guest, the God of the Bible, the Savior of the world, shows up with a message. And that is my first point this morning. It is the abrupt moment of the party. Now again, you picture yourself in somewhere like this, even where it's not a debauchery like this or something to where you would see lots of drinking, even into a party that has lots of noise going on, people talking, dishes clinging, I mean just lots of activity, and there's a lot of noise, and that's what was going on here to decimal levels that we probably could not even think of. The hoopering and the hollering going on and just the nonsense that's going on here. And then all of a sudden, we see here in the Word of God that it says, in that same hour came forth fingers of a man's hand. That same hour, there fell complete silence. Almost like the silence that you hear in this room. Everyone's attention went to the writing on the wall. And I know one thing for sure about my God. I can speak for my own life, and I've seen it in the life of others. He knows exactly how to get our attention. And He will. He does. And we see this abrupt moment there in verse 5 where all the attention will go to the writing of this wall. But it's interesting that the first person that recognizes it, that from the Word of God we see, is the king. Because that's the one truly God was going after. That's the one He was wanting to speak to. The one that He wanted to see the message the clearest. You know, God was abrupting. He was bringing in to this message to get his attention, and he was doing it by the hand of God. And he will insist full attention. Now, it's interesting that you can only imagine that those guys, human beings, all those present, when they started seeing the writing with those fingers upon the wall, the message, of course, it was for the king specifically, but everybody else was there to witness as well. And by the way, God will do that in your life. For the good or the bad, He will deal with you in such a way that is for your good and His glory, but also for the sake of others. I tell you one thing, I'm saying, God, please use me and deal with me as I am obeying You and as You are guiding me. Lord, don't let me, oh God, please, don't let me be an example of what not to do. That does happen. But it should not be our desire. Oh Lord, God, deal with me as I follow You and help me not to be that example to where You have to make me a display of what happens when you disregard the God of heaven. Oh God, help me to have a tender heart towards You. But we see here God is going to make an abrupt moment in this party. Everything comes to a stop, and I can even imagine glasses dropping. The same vessels from the temple falling, clinging to the ground, people in awe. And I'm thinking people are looking to each other. Are you seeing what I'm seeing? And by the way, it was all confirmed not only by looking at the wall, it was confirmed by what they were seeing on the king's face. Look here, that's my next point. We see the abrupt moment of the party, but then secondly, we see the awestruck mocker. The awestruck mocker. And that is Belshazzar. Look at there in verse 6. It says that then the king's countenance was changed. You know what that, you know what that, that meaning carries there? Literally, his color was changed. Somebody, you know, of course, things seem to be going well and life, and boy, they're full of color and brightness, and you can just sense that. But boy, let something take place that is devastating to them. Their color will change quickly. You can tell when you're looking at somebody that something's wrong, not just by their expression, but you can tell by the color of their skin many times. That you can see here, there was a countenance changed in this man's life. Went from brightness to paleness. The Lord is getting his attention. The Lord is working. The one who mocked. Then it says his thoughts troubled him. Look at there. His thoughts troubled him. It was fear. God was bringing fear over this man that was mocking him and cursing him and poking fun and just thinking that all was silly. It says he was troubled. Wonder why he was so troubled, besides the fact that there was fingers writing on a wall, on a big structure. Besides the supernatural part of that, what could have got his attention in that? What could it have been? Well, could it have been that it came to mind the very fact that he had been defying the God of Israel and that God was showing up? I tell you what, I hope we are tender and sensitive to realize when God is truly moving in our lives, when He is trying to speak to us, and He is trying to direct us. Oh, God, help us not to ignore that, but to realize what God is doing. But this man is feared. He's in fear. He is scared. We see here that his thoughts are troubling him, perhaps that the Judean God is about to retaliate. And he is against him because of the result of his bold defiance. Perhaps it was the fact, and again, we'll still see that he's in some denial, but perhaps it was the fact that he was thinking, well, maybe this Persian army that's surrounding our city and surrounding our walled cities, our defended cities, perhaps they will get through. Perhaps they will find a way. And they do. They do. So he's seeing here a man of fear that's starting to trouble him. And even it says there in the Bible, look there, the next thing it says about this awestruck mocker. It says that his joints of his loins were loosed. These joints carry the idea of knots, of fastening together, of fastening the bones together. And the same thing in the loins, that's the inward parts, the mid part of the body. You know, you ever heard the expression, have knots in your stomach? Just your stomach turning, and that's the feeling that this man was going through, this man's life and body right now. He's fearful of what's about to take place. Hey, listen, can I tell you this just before I move on? This, in this context, we see God doing this to this man, and his end is near. But you know, a lot of times God will do that for preventive measures in our life. That uneasy feeling in our stomach, in our inner being, that God is trying to say, you are going in the wrong direction. You are making wrong decisions. And I'm trying to deal with you and show you that that is not the way to be going. Hey, listen, can I tell you this? Thank God for that. Don't look at it as God picking on you. You should say, hey, that's the sign of a loving Heavenly Father. I don't know about y'all, but boy, at the time, I realize now, at the time, I did not realize it at the time, but my dad, he wasn't a real spiritual man, but he was a disciplinarian. And I remember many times when I was with friends and when I was with cousins that were pretty much allowed to just do what they wanted to do for the most part. I mean, it's pretty close. Maybe not totally, and I would try to involve myself in the same things. But my dad, boy, there were times, man, he just dropped the hammer on me. And there were times where he held me accountable, where I just thought he was being an unloving father. But I want to tell you, I say this with a broken heart. I'm not bragging about this, but I have several of those situations, people that I used to run with, and they are no longer on earth. They died, I believe, with all my heart, church, premature deaths. I believe God had a plan for them. I believe God had a direction for them. And God wanted to use them. But that's the same crowd that I was wanting to run with. And I said, Dad, why are you picking on me? Why are you always restricting me? And why are you so hard on me? And I didn't realize it at the time. And God forgive me. I didn't realize it at the time. It was a loving Father who cared about me and wanted to see me succeed in life. And I'm not even talking about a spiritual man, but He had a sense in Him that you will do not want to go down that path. And friend, if I'm speaking to a child of God in here this morning and you are experiencing the chastening hand of your Creator, of your Heavenly Father, do not look at it as God picking on you. You look at it as God loving you and drawing you and wanting to strengthen you. That's not the case here. This man was a mocker. He mocked God. The Bible says his knees smote together. Wow, that's used also in Nahum chapter 2, verse 10. And guess what? It's still used today as a symbol of fear. Knees knocking together. The man is scared out of his senses, out of his mind. And so now we're going to see, how does he respond? He's in awe. His party has been interrupted. Everyone's quiet. Everyone's looking at him. Okay, Belshazzar, all eyes on you. What you going to do? And he did not do the right thing once again. What did he do? Look in your Bible. It says there in verse 6. After this scare came about in verse 7, look there in verse 7. It says, the king cried aloud. But he cried, church, to the wrong people. He cried out to the wrong person. I wish with all my heart that I read in that passage that Belshazzar cried out to the God of Israel. But you know it doesn't say that. It says he cried out to the astrologers, to the Chaldeans, and the soothsayers. You remember them, don't you, church, in our previous chapters? Your preacher gave them a name, didn't he? What was this crowd called? The crooked Chaldeans. They were crooked. They were phony. They were fake. They were not the real deal. And of course, this man's not going to learn from his grandfather who continually turned to these guys who were fakes. He didn't turn to them. But this he continually turned to them, and so is Belshazzar. He's going to make the same mistake. Like father, like grandson, in this case, he's going to call out to these magicians, these workers of witchcraft. Basically, can I say this? When we're looking at this passage, and you're talking about soothsayers, listen, I want to tell you, you're talking about instruments of Satan. And you have completely deceived yourself. And I don't think this church has, but we have deceived ourselves if we think that these fellows right here are not still present in our society. What makes us think that time removes demonic and satanic powers in our society? Satan knows perfectly how to disguise himself. And he's not necessarily going to walk around like our world depicts him with a pitchfork and horns on his head with mean-looking teeth. The Bible says he's an angel of light. And he deceives. And I'm afraid that he's going to the wrong ones here. And I want to tell you, these magicians are appealing to him. They are alluring to him. And he's crying out to the wrong crowd. He should be calling out to the Lord of heaven. And can I ask you something this morning, church? Perhaps God is putting a writing on the wall for you and trying to talk to you and trying to teach you some things. Can I say something to you? Who are you crying out to? Who are you crying out to? Are you crying out to the what we would consider perhaps astrologers? When in the book here, that's what it would be. But perhaps it's something else. It's amazing what man will look for to find, give him the hope and peace that he's looking for. And he's crying out to find answers of life all in the wrong places. It happens today. You know what? Can I say it like this? Like one fellow said, he neglects God and Daniel, we'll see here in a moment, whose fame as an interpreter was then well established. Can I say this? The world wishes to be deceived and shut its eyes against the light. Isn't that a scary place? Someone that would choose to be deceived. These astrologers, these guys were those ones who professed to be able to predict the future and events by the appearance of stars. And these soothsayers, again, who practiced divination and were controlled by demons and were controlled by satanic powers to be tell of future things. These wise men of Babylon, he was looking to them, but he was not looking to the right place. He was not looking to Daniel. He was not looking to the God of heaven. And he knew Daniel's testimony. And I'm afraid I talked to way too many people in my life. I've talked to way too many people that they know who they need to be talking to get the answers. For they're going to all the wrong places. Friend, can I say with all my heart, look no further than Jesus Christ. Look to the Lamb of God who taketh away the sins of the world. Looking to the author and finisher of our faith, the Lord Jesus Christ. Look to Him this morning, you that are consumed and taken over by things that you, so many questions in your life and so many struggles. And surrender to the writing on the wall that God is trying to speak to you about a specific area. Oh my, do not deceive yourself. We see here the appeal of the magicians. The allure of them. But then lastly, in closing this morning, we see that even this Belshazzar, we see tempting these astrologers and these magicians with material gain. And that is my fourth point, the attractiveness of material gain. Wow. Look at there. In our passage, it says here that what He'll reward them with. The second part of verse 7, He says, "Whosoever shall read this writing and show me the interpretation thereof," look what He's going to reward him with. The first thing is what? He's going to reward him. He shall be clothed with scarlet. What does that speak of? That through the Word of God, you'll see in Esther and other places, that speaks of royalty. That again speaks of power. And he's going to start trying to attract an answer to his problems by paying for it. Can I tell you something, dear friend? You are simply spinning your wheels if you ever try to pay for the peace or power of God. It's vain. And that's what he's going to try to do, though. It says, listen, you tell me what's going on, and I am going to put you in the rank of royalty. I am going to clothe you with scarlet. And then look what else he says. He says, then I'll give you a chain of gold about his neck. What does that speak of? It speaks of high honor. Being honored above all, kind of like an Olympic medal. You know, you're standing up on the podium there and man, you're being honored above all. And there was an attractiveness to material gain even for these fellas in this situation. And this guy was willing to pay anything he could to get an answer. A chain of gold about his neck. But then, look what else he offers them. He says, I will give you It shall be the third ruler in the kingdom. Now that speaks of ranking in the governmental office, of the structure that was there. I'm going to put you in a prominent position. Do we see what's going on here, church? We're seeing the great lengths that a human being will go to find the answers in life. But they're looking all in the wrong place. They're looking in the wrong place. He's looking in the wrong place, and he's trying to find it on his own when he simply needs to come to that point where God is reading this message and God is trying to get his attention and God has got a message for him. And can I tell you, God's got a message for you. I don't know if it's in this same context that perhaps someone in rebellion, perhaps, but perhaps not. Perhaps there's someone here that just has a lot of questions. And God is trying to speak to you. And God is trying to use you. And you just simply need to yield and surrender yourself. And not try to find out and figure out things from a human perspective with your human reasoning, your human thinking, your human powers. No way. That's not going to work. Let God speak to you through the way that He desires. And that is, my friend, through His precious Holy Word, which I am preaching to you this morning, that I'm praying that you're receiving by faith and allowing God to speak to you. You know, one day marked in our American history is well noted in our historical books and always will be. It was during a very, honestly, anybody that's honest will admit, a very dark time in our country. A very divided time in our country. And that was the time of civil war. And those that were at one time neighbors and friends were killing each other right here in our own state, in our own country. It was a brutal war. I believe both sides had good reasons for doing what they were doing. And I'm not going to hear and to discuss that, but I do know one thing that happened toward the end of that war. Somebody saw the writing on the wall. And his name was a great general that I respect by the name of Robert E. Lee. A godly man. A man that was fighting for what he thought was right and to believe to be right. But even himself, the honoring man that he was, came to a place where he saw the writing on the walls, and that was, it was not God's will to continue fighting. And on that day, April 9th, 1865, in the home of Wilmer McLean, at 1 o'clock p.m., the two greatest generals of their time, of their respective armies, Grant and Lee, met together in that small room. Grant, in full uniform, sword and all, came before him with great respect and surrendered. He saw that it was not going where he thought it would go. And he surrendered himself and his army to Grant that day. And it was a day of great respect for one another, the things that were, the words that were exchanged. But you see what he did? What he did would save many more hundreds of lives. He realized that it's not going to work. And there was a surrender. But then sadly, in my opinion, there was also a situation at the same time where there was great denial. The president of the Confederacy, Jefferson Davis, he was in denial. And he ran off and tried to escape it all and tried to rally others and say, come on, we can do it. To lead just to devastation is what all he could go towards. The writing on the walls. You have one man that's greatly respected, Robert E. Lee. He saw it and he surrendered. But there was one that was in denial. one that said, no, we can do it. I can keep going the way I'm going. Hey, we can win. We can do it. Let's go. And I ask you this morning, what spirit are you? Perhaps you're heading in a direction and God is saying, no, it's not going to work. Surrender. Read my message. Listen to me. Follow me. Don't be a Belshazzar. Do not try to do it your own way. Do it God's way. Let's pray. Father, thank you for the Word of God this morning. I do pray that you'll take it and use it in the hearts of your people. Lord, if there's someone here this morning that has not surrendered to Jesus Christ for salvation, they don't know where they'll spend eternity when they die. Would you help them to come forward this morning to talk to someone? Would you help them, Lord, to be honest with themselves? Then I pray for that one here this morning of your child, perhaps facing some real questions in life, perhaps perplexed, perhaps going in a wrong direction, perhaps, Lord God, they're not reading the writing on the wall. Perhaps it's due to ignorance. Lord God, perhaps it's due to pride and rebellion. I don't know, Lord. But if there's a message that you're wanting to send to your people, God, would you make it clear this morning? Oh God, we love you and we thank you for loving us. Thank you for caring enough about us not to let us go our own way. Lord, we love you and honor you this morning. We do ask you to bless now in the invitation time. For it's in Jesus' name I pray. Amen. Would you stand with me, please, for the invitation time, Brother Mike?
Number 496, I surrender all. Hymn number 496.
You come. If God is speaking to your heart, you come and be obedient.